As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Jesuit that was teaching the class.
That's a good question, but the thing that we have to look at is if these individuals are indeed Roman Catholics, many of them, some of the ones that I know personally, like Richard Bennett, ex-priest of 22 years, went through a Jesuit high schools and secondary schools before he ever became a Dominican and started taking college classes, and they are basically heavily indoctrinated with philosophy, and it's Jesuit philosophy, and if you've studied anything about what the Jesuits teach, they have a great deal of influence, and that's why they established colleges all over Europe. They became the educators, and they did the same thing in the United States. I think they've got something like 18 to 21, somewhere around there. You mentioned Georgetown University, but Loyola, Chicago, Creighton, I think Boston College, there's a that is one area that they really excel in. And you think about it, young minds, and they know this and they brag about it, young minds are easily molded. And whenever you're, especially if you're a Roman Catholic and you've come through your parochial schools and everything, and then you get your Jesuit high school teachers, and then you get Jesuit professors and that in college, yeah, it can have a great deal to do with the direction that that person gets steered in life, especially when some of these Jesuits, like, undertake you under their wings. As didn't we know a certain guy named Bill Clinton?
Absolutely.
That was taken under the wings of somebody at a Jesuit university named Georgetown? So I would say it's not always a 100% proof that you're, if you get into a position of power, that you're a bad guy or anything, and maybe we shouldn't even label anybody bad or good necessarily, but you could certainly often are in their good graces and under their control.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your two-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com. Thank you.
And we have returned once again, visiting again with our very special guest, Daryl Everhart. Lots of good information coming at you this morning. Folks, we do need to understand that there's many sides to all of these questions. And one thing that I've learned in my studies, Daryl, is that when people are grasping at the brass ring of power, if you will, it really knows no racial or ethnic or religious boundaries. There are people who will reach for that ring no matter what. They'll go anywhere, do anything to get it if they feel they can advance themselves in this world. So we're looking definitely at one side of the equation. Another thing that you know, we need to keep in mind, folks, is that Harvard and Princeton, the Ivy Leagues, if you will, many of them were originally started up as seminaries all across Europe after the Reformation. The Lutheran, if you will, the Lutheran faith, they set up their seminaries. All of the various and sundry other new religious dispensations, if you will, when they came along after the Reformation, they set up their own. The same was happening in Switzerland with the Calvinists. So everybody sets up their own system, and then of course they're going to indoctrinate, they're going to teach, and they're going to preach. But there is a special twist to this papal system that we need to be very aware of, and there was a military origin to the Jesuits, which, if we can understand conquest, dominion, world dominion, and that kind of mentality, would certainly color their philosophy. Would you agree with that, Daryl? Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, and when you and I talked the other day, I had mentioned to you that I've been around a lot of places in the world, of course, when I was in the military, and my observation of most of the people that I met, whether they were Jews, whether they were Muslims, whether they were Roman Catholics, whether they were Presbyterians, Baptists, is that most, I'd say 90%, it seems to me, 9 out of 10, are secular Muslims, secular Jews, secular Christians, secular Catholics, because they don't really even practice the tenets of their faith, other than the ritualism, some of them. But the vast majority of people are, like you said, they're malleable, or you intimated, they're malleable in the sense that if you can give them money, if you can give them sex through even little boys and little girls, has happened to some of our congressmen, or power and influence, a lot of them will betray not only their own race, but their own country to advance their own personal agenda and fulfill their own lusts and whatever it be,
well,
you know, for power or money.
So much of our legal structure over the centuries has risen up out of the, just to use the jurisprudence terminology, up out of the customs, the tongues, and the tribes of and creeds of people. So if you live in a Mohammedan type of a country, or a Buddhist country, or a Protestant country, or a Catholic country, so to speak, that colors the law. It colors the how people relate and respond one with another, their customs, their traditions, and so we can expect that. But I think you're absolutely right that. And I was on air one time with Rabbi Yaakov Spivak, and he was telling me about at the synagogue. You know, the ribbies would be up at the front, I guess, going through their process, and out in the anteroom, most of the attendants would be, and they'd be talking about their latest trip to Vail, or their children going to college and things like that. And I don't imagine it's too much different in most churches, where the coffee klatch seems to have the most lively conversation.
Right, and while there are lots of people involved and lots of people that from all different races and religions that can be corrupted and brought into the system, there is clearly a mechanism that sits at the top. Somebody's at the top, and all of my research has shown me that it's Papal Rome, Jesuit-controlled Papal Rome, that are controlling the secret societies, such as the high-level Freemasonry, etc. So we don't have a ruling thing by some sort of troika or something of, yes, there's the Jews have a third of the portion, the Roman Catholics have a third, and the whatever, the some other group has a third. There is a group at the very top, and I would like someone to show me a ton of evidence that opposes the ton of evidence that I have that shows that it is Jesuit-controlled Papal Rome. They're responsible, you know, for fomenting World War One and World War Two. It wasn't Zionist Jews, and all we have to do is look at whom was the target of the wrath of Hitler and all the other Roman Catholic dictators. And some people say I shouldn't point out that they were all Roman Catholic dictators, but the fact of the matter is that they were, and that many Roman Catholics of power and influence in countries across Europe, including France and Yugoslavia, just to mention several, betrayed their constitutions, their countrymen, even their military forces, where, like in Yugoslavia, prominent Roman Catholics told where the arms were stored for the Yugoslavian military forces and where the airplanes were hid, etc. And they betrayed their countries, and they helped the fascists set up dictatorships that basically targeted primarily Jews, but also Protestant leaders, etc., as in Slovakia. So that's why we're looking at history. We can see that you have to look whether it's an individual murder or the murder of millions of people. You have to look who has the motive to do it, who has the opportunity to do it, who has the means to do it, you know, the money, etc.
Right.
And then you look at who controls international banking, who controls the intelligence community. And when we get to World War II, we're going to see that all three of the top intelligence communities were controlled by Knights of Malta. How does that happen in a war where you've got two sides fighting each other, and yet all the main intelligence services are controlled by Roman Catholic Knights of Malta?
Well, I don't want to jump ahead, but we have...
Right, yeah, let's go ahead and do that quote I started out with about John Daniel in his book, The Grand Design Exposed, which, by the way, folks, is a tremendous book that shows how the Jesuits took over high-level Freemasonry. But anyway, he says, without exception, every chief actor in the French Revolution, that was 1789 to 99, was either Jesuit-educated, a Catholic prelate, or a member of the Illuminati Order, which I'm adding, a Jesuit front organization, back to the quote, where within the Jacobin Club, they would come together to conspire and carry out the great work, which in the open system of the Jacobins was the reflection of the complete hidden system of the Illuminati, and in back of the Illuminati were the hidden Jesuit masters. Most, and he's talking about the leaders of the French Revolution, most had been educated and trained under Jesuit tutelage. And one of the biggest proofs that I can give that the Jews are not running the Roman Catholic Church is throughout history, and we covered part of this on last week's broadcast, there's been just a whole bunch of mass murder of Jews from the 12th century on. And the people behind it was actually the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. And we saw in various villages, Roman Catholic priests would get the local villagers fired up and they'd go out and kill every Jew they could get their hand on. It happened over and over and over again. And then they would say, well, they sacrificed some Catholic child or something and drank his blood. Or they took a consecrated host and tortured it to death. Anyway, back in over the past seven centuries, I would say, the Jews have been amongst, as Gary Allen pointed out, they've been the greatest victims of genocide that have been choreographed and organized by Papal Rome, and that includes World War II. And some of the other big proofs that it's not the Jews who are really controlling, like, and I've heard this quite a bit on some of the so-called alternative media, a proof that the Jews are not really controlling mainstream TV and the press media here in the USA is the fact that the Pope gets to be named Man of the Year in several major news magazines. I don't remember whether it was Time or Newsweek or U.S. News and World Report, but I do remember seeing his picture on several years as Man of the Year. The Roman Catholic Mary gets featured on the front cover, and I've seen that on several of the same major news magazines.
Let's jump in right there. We got a break right on top.
Sure.
We'll be right back in three. Stay with us.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again, speaking again today with Daryl Everhart. Let me get your website out there for the folks, Daryl. It's if you want to visit there, there's a lot of information. It's a growing website. It's back up online again. Used to be under a different title, but now it's www.toughissues.org. www.toughissues.org. There's a lot of material on that website that you go and read and study. We can't go into everything on these broadcasts in the nth degree, but in the last segment, Daryl, I think we did a pretty good job of at least responding to that email inquiry that I received. If we can understand, folks, that there are many hands in all of this, but they're all off times. If you continue to peel back, as they say, the layers of the onion, you start going into fewer and fewer hands, and then you start to reveal who's actually running the show. But even when we think about Papal Rome, and we're going to cover this in greater detail, we've been discussing Jesuitism, but even when you get into the idea of Papal Rome, then you think of old Papa, you know, and a lot of the listeners, Daryl, may never have heard what we would talk to about, when you think about the Roman Pope that you see on TV and stuff like that and go around in the Popemobile, realize that there's another Jesuit general that's in the background, and some people rightly call him the Black Pope. And so we'll go into that as well. Now, in the last broadcast that we did, we brought up through the history. We started out in 1096 and we came forward into about the 1400s. Maybe we could pick it up there and look at the beginning of the Spanish Inquisition and resume our study of history, kind of piece things together. Or if you had another final thought on the previous topic, we could finish that up and then go into history.
Yeah, let's do that, finish the thought up that I started there. And that, because I want the listeners to think, because we do hear so much that the Jews control Hollywood and the mainstream TV. So I started out with some of the biggest proofs that I've seen that it's not the Jews, put quotes around that, the Jews that are really controlling mainstream TV and our press media here in USA is number one, the Pope gets to be named Man of Year in major news magazines. Number two, the Roman Catholic Mary's, you know, pictures of her statues are featured on the front cover of some of these same major news magazines. And then number three, a movie I saw, a made-for-TV movie, I think John Voight played Pope John Paul II, glorifying the Pope John Paul II, comes out shortly after his death, portraying him as a wonderful, godly man. So the questions I would ask the listeners to consider, and you and I to consider, William, is this. If the Jews really do control Hollywood and the mainstream TV and press media here in the USA, then why are they giving such good press to popes, to the Roman Catholic Mary, etc., whenever Papal Rome has far and away been the biggest mass murder of Jews throughout the past nine centuries plus, and especially World War II? Again, another question for us to ask ourselves. If the Jews are, again, really in control of Hollywood, mainstream TV, media, and press in the USA, well, then why don't they expose, via Hollywood movies and TV documentaries, the massive involvement by Jesuit-controlled Papal Rome in helping to install all these Roman Catholic dictators, Hitler, Mussolini, etc., all throughout Europe during, prior to and during World War II, placing Roman Catholic priests in the Nazi SS Central Security Service, the Vatican support for all these dictatorial regimes, fascist and Nazi for most, if not all, of the war, and then the support provided to the Vatican to the worst of the fascist war criminals when Papal Rome helped these mass-murdering monsters to escape punishment at the end of World War II via the Vatican rat line. So, again, the question is, if Hollywood's controlled by the Jews and the mainstream media's controlled by the Jews, then why in the heck aren't they exposing all of this evil on the part of Papal Rome, the greatest killer of Jews in the past nine centuries plus? Obviously, there's some wealthy Jews in Hollywood and the mainstream media. However, they obviously seem to care less about their fellow Jews. And in fact, I would say such wealthy and powerful media Jews can be correctly designated as Papal Court Jews, since they refuse to expose any of that history that I mentioned of butchery, torture, mayhem, and murder that happened in World War II and directed frequently against Jews all over Europe. So don't you think those are valid questions to be asking?
Absolutely, I do. And again, you know, we can go back and look through, and you go through the roster of the Council on Foreign Relations and the various university staff and the think tanks. Go back and look at the Central Intelligence Agency. Look at, you know, we've got the face group, I guess you could say. Those would be the ones that are out in front of the microphone and in front of the cameras in politics. But there's always those that are working behind the scenes. We don't deal with our representatives in this constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government. We don't ever get a chance to deal with our representatives unless you can pigeonhole them in a hallway someplace. You always have to deal with the aides. And so there's a lot to understand in that as well. So there's many layers to this onion. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to understand where we're at overnight, and we're certainly not going to understand where we are if we allow ourselves to just be led by every changing wind of doctrine. And altogether, too often, it's easy to point one place. But we also, folks, understand that the idea of misdirection, and then there's the error of omission that lays in there. Two terms from the law maxims that always come to my mind, Daryl, is one is voluntary ignorance, where someone is voluntarily ignorant of something, and then the other one is willful oblivion. Sometimes it's confused, they say willful ignorance, but really the legal maxims are voluntary ignorance. I choose to be ignorant about this particular topic because it's uncomfortable. I choose to be ignorant about this particular topic because if I advise myself of it, then I'm going to have to make a decision, or I'm going to have to take a stance if I have any principle or moral foundation at all. So then there's the voluntary ignorance, and willful oblivion. I'm willfully oblivious of this. I don't want you to tell me about it. Please change the topic. You know, and we deal with that all the time, don't we, Daryl?
Yeah, and if you think about it, in the Bible, it lists all kinds of sins, and there are sins of commission, and there are sins of omission, and I think many of us fall into doing more of the sins of omission, failure to do good when we can, righteousness, etc. Well, the same thing applies in history. It's not that our history textbooks and encyclopedias here in the USA have outright lied to us most of the time. No, that's not. There's a few lies that creep in occasionally, but what happens is most of it's omission. They're leaving out so many important parts of what goes on behind the scenes. Who was motivated? As I said, whether it's the murder of one individual or of millions, who had the motivation to do it? Who had the means? Who had the opportunity? And who gains? Qui bono? You know, whenever the war's ended and all the casualties are counted and the places start to get rebuilt, who benefited from all of it? And that's what we need to look at, and that's why we're covering so many of these missing gaps in history. We just want the listeners to see that there's a lot that hasn't been told to them, even if they went to a good university and took history courses. I took about at least three or four, I'm thinking. I know I took a couple American Civil War and that, but a college level, university level history courses. And I wasn't informed of 99% of what I'm covering here and hope to cover on the future broadcast with you as we go through history. And we just need to look. Are there certain patterns here that we can see? Are there certain groups and organizations and setting up front groups carry out wars and revolutions? And when we see that, I think we're going to come to a conclusion of who it is that's responsible for most of this torture, murder, and mayhem.
And if we rightly understand how some of this works, folks, is that, you know, there might be some particular aspect of the life and the advancement of Attila the Hun that was not carried in the university textbooks, or that you won't find in the encyclopedias. But Attila the Hun, you know, it's just like the War for Independence. It starts one point, ends over here. You can figure it out and put it together. But in this particular instance, where we're dealing with Rome and where we're dealing with the papacy, this is a continuing saga of thousands of years here, 2,000 years. And so there is, like you say, Kubona, there's something to gain by staying silent on very important issues, because it's like the player. You could talk all about who killed John Kennedy. John Kennedy's life began and it ended. You can give the birth date and the ending date. The papacy has never ended. It's a life without end.
Yeah. Well, we finished up with the Spanish Inquisition, so let's which was basically finishing up with the 13th century. So let's we did finish up with the 12th century. So let's go ahead and hit the 13th century. And at 1487, we get Pope Innocent VIII promising in this year to forgive the sins of those who killed the Vaudois, or the Waldensian Bible-believing Christians, heretics mostly in France, some in northwestern Italy, and he authorized the looting of all their property, in other words, of these so-called heretics. So that's the thing that really helped them mobilize armies. Not only did they pull in guys that were coming back from... sounds like we got a break coming up.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
And we have returned once again, and we're right into the last segment of this first hour. Folks, we're going to run full 2 hours here today like we always do, so be sure and get in with your calls or questions if you have any as they come up, so that we don't run right up to the last of the broadcast and then try and answer a difficult question in a 30-second soundbite. That doesn't do any good to you, and it doesn't do any good for Daryl or myself. So, but Daryl, one of the things that we see oft times in this study, especially if we can wrap our minds around the idea of a crime or a criminal, a murderer will oftentimes do the same sort of process each time that he goes after a victim. We do have, in many cases, copycat crime, but we see a repeating theme throughout all of this, where we get involved with the confiscation of lands, the burning of books, live burning sacrifices, horrible tortures, and so on and so forth. It almost becomes the signature of the criminal, does it not?
It sure does, and it makes you wonder when many times when the criminal claims that he's a Christian, or she is a Christian church, that they're able to, as I said, I think on the previous broadcast, many of the women that were burned, a lot of the victims were women, and a lot of the people that were burned using, at the stake, using wet or green wood to greatly prolong their misery. By the way, I erred when I said we were finishing up the 13th century. We were finishing up the 15th century, because that's when the Spanish Inquisition had happened in the 1400s, which is the 15th century. And I had mentioned there that Pope Innocent VIII there had promised to, in that year, to forgive the sins of those who killed the various heretics, the Vaudois or Waldenses, and authorized the looting of all their property. And what I had started to say when the break came was, is that how they got a lot of rapists and murderers they released from prisons to join these armies? Some of them had come back from the Holy Land in crusades in previous centuries. And that's how they got them to really have a great lust and joy for the murder and mayhem they were doing, is that they got to rape like crazy. They got to keep a lot of the property and sometimes even the lands of the wealthier individuals. Of course, some of that generally went to the top generals and a few of the bishops that were in the local area. But it's just the idea of here's some really good rewards for you to go out and kill and murder these people that we have labeled heretics. And we better always investigate a little bit, because the people who, as I had mentioned to you when we talked yesterday, the people who do the murdering and mayhem and then win the victory are the ones that write the history generally. And they have to demonize the people that they went after, like these poor Albigensian and Waldensian Christians.
Well, one of the themes that I read about in the book that I have just finished talked about going against the Waldensians and the Albigensians, the Cathars, partly also heading into getting I'm trying to find the right words, but part of the papal assault, if you will, was against quote-unquote mercenaries. But then if you study and understand how the Pope was using their influence over the kings and queens, they too would bring in mercenaries because they were getting indulgences and other gifts from the papacy or from Rome to engage in these crusades and in these inquisitorial extermination programs. So it's kind of like the pot calling the kettle black when we talk about mercenaries. Today we see the use of mercenaries coming back again for the first time in a long time, at least outwardly. And we see the same thing when we look at, you know, as we said before, Guantanamo Bay or Abu Ghraib or any of the other places. We're hearing more stories about rape, pillage, burn, and all of that. Wanton slaughter of innocent people, non-combatants, if you will. So much of this all just seems to repeat back and back again. But looking right here at this time period in the 1400s, latter part of the 1400s, we see a lot of the groundwork being laid.
What you just said made me jump to my quotations file here. And there was a former colonel, a former World War II OSS officer. He's one of the founders of the modern CIA. His name was George White. And listen to his quote here. It's very short. "I toiled wholeheartedly in the vineyards," he's talking about the CIA vineyards, "because it was fun, fun, fun. Where else could a red-blooded American boy lie, kill, cheat, steal, rape, and pillage with the blessings of all the highest?"
Exactly. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. And for guys, a lot of guys, you know, that's the promise of loot and plunder and that. Throughout history, armies are motivated, you know, if they're not paying them a good salary, then they say, hey, when you take this town, everything you can stuff in your pockets is yours, boy, and all of the women and girls, they're all yours, too.
Well, you know, the children are raised up so often, and it's nothing new in this particular generation. It's been going on for a long time. Your children or boys are raised up with the little tin soldiers and the stick over their shoulder and hut, 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 and all of this, and playing army and playing war, all the movies, the TVs, it all points towards this sort of stuff. So, you know, we become a product of this indoctrination, and it's so deep that then, you know, setting aside all moral and ethical considerations, they'll just, you know, go out and sign up for this stuff. And anybody that has joined the military and then wants people to be sympathetic with their side if they contract some kind of a disease or if they get exposed to some kind of a gas or a radiation or something like that, to me, it's a head-scratcher because, you know, what did you think you were signing up for?
Yeah, and when you were talking about that, I got visions of John Wayne movies. Yeah, war is glorified, but if you think about it, most of the people on both sides of a conflict would much rather be home with their wives and children and growing wheat or whatever they do than out stabbing someone with a bayonet or getting shot or gassed, as you mentioned. Most people don't want to kill other people, generally. It's the powers behind the scenes that orchestrate these wars and then make tons of money by financing both sides of the war. And then in the end, if there's a lot of destruction of civilian property and cities at the end of the war, then they finance the Reconstruction, and they make money, 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 as Smedley D. Butler pointed out, a double Medal of Honor recipient, by the way, Pennsylvania boy that was a Marine general. Smedley D. Butler pointed out war is a racket in his book.
Yep.
War, by that title, war is a racket, and it indeed is. And he said that he realized after he'd been in for a while that all he was doing was being a glorified, basically being used to advance corporate interests, et cetera, and people that it was not the interest of the American people.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing. Well, let's go back, and we've only got about 2 minutes left in this segment.
We can just finish up with Dominican Girolamo Savonarola.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know about him. He was murdered and executed in 1498. He preached and pleaded for reform within his own Roman Catholic Church. And again, he was executed in 1498 on orders from the same Roman Catholic Church. And what was his crime? He had denounced Pope Alexander VI and his corrupt papal court. And Savonarola was really a godly Roman Catholic clergyman, a great preacher. He had led a great revival in the city of Florence, Italy. And, of course, he was excommunicated shortly before his execution, so the church gets away with saying, well, we didn't really kill one of our own. He was a heretic. But the key note I want to bring out here is Savonarola was targeted for termination for the very same reason as had the Albigensian and Waldensian Bible-believing Christians we talked about last week. Before they were doing the same thing, criticizing the corrupt papal court and the corrupt priestly system of papal Rome. So godly Roman Catholics have been murdered by their own church for the same reasons that they murder, mass murder heretics.
Well, they have doctrines, they have dogmas, they have routine regimen, if you will. They have their own history, they have their system, they have a government, and whenever anybody uses the freedom of thought or freedom of association or questions any of this, then they challenge the very foundation of this particular system. And this goes, you know, system-wide. We can see it in the United States today. We've seen it in all throughout history. But whoever is challenging this established system then can easily fall under this brand of heretic and be exterminated. But certainly at this time, there was a real problem because people were starting to look at what the church was teaching, and they were looking at this Bible for the first time in vernacular languages. They were looking at these things, and they were saying, hey, there's something wrong here. This doesn't line up. But, folks, we'll be back in a brief minute or two here after our top of the hour break, and we'll start the second hour. So do stay with us, won't you, with our special guest, Darrell Eberhart.
Related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own survival oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
You're now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, August the 13th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local as we begin our second hour here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. We do come to you Monday through Friday. I'm joined again today by a very special guest and a researcher, an independent researcher, a man whose writings I have and research I've read and have been aware of for years. And I'm very confident that he's doing the very best he can to dig in through a bunch of dusty, musty tomes and bring to us some of the best information available on these topics. And so, Daryl, why don't you pick it up there? We've got about 4 minutes in this segment, and then we'll come back into a break, and then we'll have a longer segment after that.
Sure, and I just want to let the listeners know, and I'm sure we probably have some Roman Catholic listeners, that it's important for them to know this, is that although I was not raised Roman Catholic, my dad is a Roman Catholic, I was raised in the Methodist Church, but 90% of my friends, that's my friends, my relatives, again, 90% of them are Roman Catholic, some of my very favorite first cousins, etc. So, and I married a beautiful, wonderful Roman Catholic lady back in the late 60s. So I don't hate individual Roman Catholics. What I do is I don't particularly care for a system that commits mass murder and torture. So I wanted to let them know that. And if some of the best books that I have gotten exposing papal sins and crimes and mass murder have been written by Roman Catholics. One is Peter DeRosa, who wrote the book Vicars of Christ, The Dark Side of the Papacy. Lord Acton, some of the quotes that I use, he's a British Roman Catholic historian that gave me some really great quotes about the Inquisition. So we've had some Roman Catholics throughout history. John Cornwell is one recently that came out with the book Hitler's Pope. So we're not criticizing any individual low-level Roman Catholics or individual low-level Freemasons or et cetera when we're doing this. We're just looking at history and we're looking at who really, you know, orchestrates things from behind the scenes. It's no way a condemnation of Jews, low-level Jews, low-level Catholics, low-level Protestants or anything. So
absolutely.
Anything.
All the pew dusters are, you know, we're not exonerated, folks. We do need to understand that, you know, if you don't know who you are, whose you are, you're walking on a minefield. So we can't exonerate or relieve ourselves of that. It's our responsibility, especially all things religious. The Bible even teaches you to search the scriptures. You know, you're supposed to avail yourself of the knowledge and learn something about what it is, because when you tithe and support, or when you turn out in droves for the Inquisitions, or if you turn out for the Crusades, you know, you're buying into something. But so often, Daryl, the systems are even designed just to keep the pew dusters in the absolute darkness.
Oh, yeah. And I know many Protestants and Catholics, friends of mine, that the Bible sits on the coffee table collecting dust. And I've known at least six Methodist ministers who didn't know very much about the Bible. I've known Roman Catholic priests when I did take catechism courses when I married a Roman Catholic lady. And they didn't know hardly anything about the Bible. And yet it's God's operating manual for the human soul. And would we operate a multi-million dollar piece of equipment that required a lot of servicing to keep it going straight without ever reading the manual? And yet many people do the same thing. They don't read God's word. And, you know, from time to time, whenever I'm on broadcast, I recommend books, but the book I most absolutely, most highly recommend is that everyone, whether you're Catholic, non-Roman Catholic, you call yourself a Christian, we all should be really reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And the top Bible I would recommend is the King James for several reasons, but the thing is any Bible that you're reading, if you will read it from Genesis and the Old Testament to Revelation and the New, you'll find a lot of wisdom.
Absolutely. We'll be right back, folks, after this break. Stay with us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we have returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local as you're listening to the live broadcast, August the 13th, 2009. We're in our second hour now, again visiting with Daryl Everhart for the benefit of our affiliate stations and micros that were away for the top of the hour break. In the first hour, we've covered a lot of good ground. You'll need to go back and check out the archives if you're only listening to the second hour of the broadcast live and find out what we covered there. But here we are now. We're up to the point 1498. We're coming in at one of the most exciting time periods in the history of Christianity for me personally. But we see this in 1498, the Italian Dominican Savonarola executed, and now we're coming into the ground or the dominion, if you will, of and the emergence of Johann Reuchlin and Philip Melanchthon and and Luther and Calvin and Zwingli, and also another Englishman, William Tyndale. Let's just go play around in there a little bit and share the benefit of your knowledge, if you would, Gerald.
Sure. We're going to be jumping into the 16th century here. And the first one I want to hit before we get to the Reformation, Counter-Reformation, and we'll give the listeners some definitions on those terms. But in 1510, we start out with the 16th century, Roman Catholics burned 26 Jews, it may not seem like a lot, and beheaded two Jews in Berlin, Germany, again for allegedly desecrating the sacramental wafer. I just want to bring that one out because we saw in the 1200s, 1300s, 1400s, this thing just keeps occurring over and over and over again, as they say, where local priests get their congregation fired up in the village or whatever, and they just go out and burn and kill Jews left and right. So, but anyway, dear listeners, it's quite difficult, I would say, if not impossible, downright impossible, to understand the behind-the-scenes history of the past four centuries, which we're going to start covering now, without looking at it through what I call the lens or the magnifying glass of the Reformation and the Counter-Reformation, or some might say the Reformation versus the Counter-Reformation. So let's define those terms. According to Webster's New World Dictionary, 4th edition, 2006, here's what they have to say about the Reformation. The Reformation was the 16th century religious movement that aimed at reforming the Roman Catholic Church and resulted in establishing the Protestant churches. Now, my favorite dictionary, the Webster's 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language, has for one of its definitions for the word Reformation the following. The change of the religion, and they mean the Christian religion, from the corruptions of popery to its primitive purity, begun by Luther, A.D. 1517. And I have another definition here for Counter-Reformation. It's Webster's New World College Dictionary, 4th edition, 2006. It defines Counter-Reformation as the reform movement in the Roman Catholic Church in the 16th century following the Protestant Reformation and in answer to it. Now, to be more precise, the Counter-Reformation was a series of actions taken, number one, to stop the flow of massive numbers of Roman Catholics out of the Roman Catholic Church. They were losing hundreds of thousands of people were deserting the church. And number two, the Counter-Reformation was to destroy Protestantism and murder as many Protestants as possible wherever and whenever they could. And it was spearheaded by the Jesuit order, and it included assassination or attempted assassination of heads of state, fomenting of wars and revolutions. Matter of fact, we saw some of the bloodiest religious wars at this time in history. We'll get into that later, William, the 30 Years' War. I think that was like 1618, 1648. But it resulted in the murder of millions, basically turned some of the landscape in Central Europe into, it looked like the surface of the moon. I mean, it totally devastated areas of Central Europe. And the launching of the Spanish Armada against England in 1588 was but one of the many episodes of this Jesuit-led Counter-Reformation. And maybe we should give them one more definition before we jump in, because the spearhead or tip of the spear of the Counter-Reformation was the Jesuit order. It was founded in 1534 by Ignatius Loyola, a Spaniard, and it was officially recognized by the papacy as an official order in 1540. And so here's an order, a definition that I've written up. And the Jesuit order is a religious order of the Roman Catholic Church, officially approved by Pope Paul III in 1540. The primary goals of this order are, one, to roll back the Protestant Reformation and the freedoms that it brought to many of the inhabitants of this planet. Number two, to enhance the power and prestige of the papacy. In other words, they want temporal power of the Pope throughout the world. And number three, to rule despotically over the governments of the world through the papacy, and that, like they did for centuries, ruling all of Europe with an iron fist straight out of the papacy. The head of the Jesuit order is the Jesuit Superior General, the Black Pope. That's a nickname that Italians have given to him, by the way. The real power behind the papal throne. And the Jesuit order is famous for fomenting revolutions and wars, assassinating heads of state and subverting nations, so much to the point that they were thrown out of, I think it was like 83 countries, city states, and states by 1931, mostly by Roman Catholic monarchs. So let me read some very interesting quotes about the Jesuit order, which by the way, is the most powerful that I've been able to discern player on the New World Order that sits on the very top of the New World Pyramid. And we might do that after the next break, but I'll dig that up in the meantime. But the Jesuit Order, or the Jesuit Spirit General, basically controls not only his own Jesuits, but he controls the powerful and wealthy Knights of Malta and the highest levels of Freemasonry. And through them, he controls the international intelligence community and the international banking community. He also controls the entire mechanism of the Roman Catholic Church. So you can see that this guy has so much power, and through his Knights of Malta, so much money. A lot of the international banking that the Knights Templar had got transferred over to the Knights of Malta. So as my one maternal grandmother told me, she said, follow the money trail, Daryl. And that's true, William. If you follow the guys that are making the money off of the mayhem and murder, then you find out who the guys are that are carrying it out, orchestrating it,
well, and planning it. One of the important parts in this, too, you know, is when the Reformation, if you will, began with Luther and others. Again, I like to look back to Zwingli as well, very influential. But when that began, I never got the impression that Papal Rome was concerned about losing souls. I think what they were looking at, they were looking at their tithes, they were looking at the inheritances, the estates, they were looking at the land holdings that they had, all of that being challenged. And so they were really looking at the hemorrhage of monetary systems and control systems that they had when they had this competing religious system arising. So again, I don't think they were concerned about lost salvation here anywhere.
Oh no, not at all. And when I said they were concerned about the hemorrhaging of losing people, it was dues paying members
exactly.
That they were losing, and the basis of their political and power support. Is what, you know, when you start losing hundreds of thousands of people out of a certain province or region, all of a sudden you no longer have control of that region.
Absolutely. And so we're going to go into a break here and come back and go into it and hear some more of these quotes. But there's a very big picture out here, folks, and we need to get the rose-colored glasses off and take a look at history with the very bright light of truth. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
And we have returned once again visiting with Daryl Everhart. Let me give your website out again, Daryl. It's www.toughissues.org, folks. Toughissues.org. You might go up and log on and bookmark that site today, browse around, read the articles. Daryl, we're moving into a time period for historians that I like to think of as a target-rich zone. We're moving out of the feudal period. We're moving out of what some would say the medieval or the dark ages. We're coming into modern history, the last 500 years, but we're also coming into the time of the printing press. We're coming into the time of translations of the Bible into vernacular languages. The New Testament was the first place to go for Luther and others, and we'll get to them in a moment and in future broadcasts, folks. But this is the time for everyone listening to get your notepad out and your pens and paper, because it's only through hours and hours and hours of research, years of research, that you get these the names and the places put together the way that Daryl has them. So do take note when we give out names of people that you can go and look into. You'll find that there are books and books and books available if you're curious and you want to find out more about it, if you want to find out whether there's anything credible being said today. But back to you, Daryl. Let's just pick it up and take our time and walk very slowly in this time period, because there's so much happening.
Right, and it's important that I do some of these quotes, and some of them will pop up from time to time as we go through several weeks here, at least, I'm sure, on Wednesdays, doing these broadcasts on missing gaps in history. But here's it's so important, because the Jesuits are at the bottom of so much for the last 400 years, and I just want them to hear some quotes from some very famous people, you know, given all at once here in one time frame, so that they can just see how that were so many people, many of them very famous people, presidents of the United States, that were warning us about the dangers of this Jesuit order. So let's start out with a guy named John Adams, the second president of the United States, who, by the way, wrote an anonymous history because he was so afraid of the Jesuits. An honest history about the Jesuits, but here's what he said, I believe this is from a letter that he wrote to Thomas Jefferson. He says, "My history of the Jesuits is not eloquently written, but it is supported by unquestionable authorities and is very particular and very horrible. Their restoration," he's talking about when Pope Pius VII restored the Jesuits in 1814 after they got suppressed, I think it was about 1773, by Pope Clement XIV. But anyway, he says, "Their restoration is indeed a step towards," and my screen went blank here, "darkness, cruelty, despotism, death. I do not like the appearance of the Jesuits. If ever there was a body of men who merited eternal damnation on earth and in hell, it is the Society of Loyola," which is, of course, the Jesuit order. Here's what the Marquis de Lafayette, remember that young Frenchman that came over and was a general, served under the command of General George Washington during the American Revolutionary War, then went back to France. Here's what the Marquis de Lafayette had to say about the Jesuits. "It is my opinion that if the liberties of this country, the United States of America, are destroyed, it will be by the subtlety of the Roman Catholic Jesuit priests, for they are the most crafty, dangerous enemies to civil and religious liberty." get this last part of the quote, folks. They have instigated most of the wars of Europe. Here's what the 16th president of the United States of America, Abraham Lincoln, had to say about the Jesuits. The war, and he's talking about the American Civil War, 1861 to 1865, would never have been possible without the sinister influence of the Jesuits. Here's what Edmund Paris, who, by the way, was born Roman Catholic, a French author, in his book, The Secret History of the Jesuits, page 9, he said, "The public is practically unaware of the overwhelming responsibility carried by the Vatican and its Jesuits in the starting of two world wars, a situation which may be explained in part by the gigantic finances at the disposition of the Vatican and its Jesuits." Here's one by a famous American, Samuel Morse, the inventor of the telegraph. And he wrote, by the way, two books warning the American people about the Jesuits. This one's from Foreign Conspiracy Against the Liberties of the United States. He says the Jesuits are a secret society, a sort of Masonic order, with super added features of revolting odiousness and 1,000 times more dangerous. We can see these famous people in history, they really had a distaste and fear for these Jesuits. Here's what Napoleon I, also known as Napoleon Bonaparte, had to say about the Jesuits. "The Jesuits are a military organization, not a religious order. Their chief is a general of an army, not the mere father abbot of a monastery. And the aim of this organization is power. Power in its most despotic exercise. Absolute power. Universal power. The power to control the world by the volition of a single man." Of course, they mean the black pope operating behind the front man, the white pope. Continuing the quote, "Jesuitism is the most absolute of despotisms and at the same time the greatest and most enormous of abuses." Now this man, next man, very short quote, is not as well known, but R.W. Thompson, he wrote a book, and he was an ex-secretary of the American Navy. He said, "The Jesuits are the deadly enemies of civil and religious liberty." F. Tupper Saucy tells us this about the Jesuits. He wrote Rulers of Evil. "The Roman Inquisition has been administered since 1542 by the Jesuits." Now, a quote that I alluded to earlier, this one's by J.E.C. Shepherd, Canadian historian, wrote The Babington Plot, Jesuit Intrigue in Elizabethan England. This is from page 12 of that book. He says, "Between 1555 and 1931, the Society of Jesus," in other words, the Jesuit order, "was expelled from at least 83 countries, city states, and cities for engaging in political intrigue and subversive plots against the welfare of the state. According to the records of a Jesuit priest of repute," he's referring to Thomas J. Campbell, back to the quote, "practically every instance of expulsion was for political intrigue, political infiltration, political subversion, and inciting to political insurrection." Here's a quote by Theodor Griesinger, a German historian. He said, "The whole frightful responsibility for this terrible 30 Years' War," that was 1618 to 1648, "must rest upon the Emperor Ferdinand II and his teachers, rulers and bosom friends, the Sons of Loyola." Again, that's the Jesuit order. James Parton, American historian, said this, "If you trace up Masonry through all its orders till you come to the grand tip-top head Mason of the world, you will discover that the dread individual and the chief of the Society of Jesus," in other words, the superior general, the Jesuit, or the black pope, "are one and the same person." So the top Mason is the Jesuit superior general.
So in all of this, one of the things that comes to my mind as well, Daryl, is that there are, for the Catholic faithful, there are retreats that are oftentimes held throughout the year, sometimes more than one time a year. They go through this process. Now, we started off with the Jesuits as being an order, and there are many orders, and all of the various kinds of priests, people that you've ever heard about, the Benedictines or the Franciscans or the Dominicans or the Jesuits. These are orders, the monasteries and convents and things like that. They are groups that have been authorized to follow. Oftentimes they have a founder, and the founder comes up with an idea or an ism, and then they follow that. And Jesuitism is not relieved from that as well. But oftentimes in modern history, people will have the opportunity to go to a retreat. And what they do is they learn and follow this idea of the spiritual order or the spiritual message of Loyola. I'm trying to think of, I had it on my mind a moment ago and it just slipped away there. But it's the, there's a spiritual process that, you know, that they study, and it, they use it as a form of a retreat. And so the average person, again, the pew duster, even low-level priest, can get exposed to Loyola that way, but there's something else much bigger happening in the background. Folks, we'll be back right after this break, and perhaps I'll remember what I had in mind. Be right back.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. You're using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with 2 cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth of our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again. We're visiting with Daryl Everhart. We're discussing all the tough issues around the bloody history of Papal Rome. But as we're going into the break, I was having a little bit of trouble struggling in my mind to put it back together again. But there was a there's a process. It's known as the Spiritual Exercises of Ignatius Loyola. I have a copy of that that I don't have at hand, but that I looked through and very deeply for a period of time. And there's a process that is used here, again, for the laity, for the pew dusters, for some of their clergymen. It's a process that we go through, but if we can go back a little bit, Daryl, and pick up some of the life of Loyola, where he comes from and how he got on this mission. And then he developed, I think he had 12 disciples, and then they scattered to the winds after they got their authorization. I know that St. Francis Xavier went off to the Orient. Others went to, some went to England, some went to Germany, some were in France and elsewhere. But they started to spread this idea, and so many people they have to go through this ordeal, these spiritual exercises, in order to even be considered as a Jesuit in the very lowest level.
Yeah, well, first let me give him one final quote, because it ties up. It's another famous person, and we'll talk a little bit about Ignatius there. But Fyodor Dostoevsky, one of the most famous Russian novelists, here's what he had to say about the Jesuits. The Jesuits are simply the Romish army for the earthly sovereignty of the world in the future, with the Pontiff of Rome for emperor. That's their ideal. It is simple lust of power, of filthy earthly gain, of domination. Something like a universal serfdom with them, he means the Jesuits as masters. That's all they stand for. They don't even believe in God, perhaps. So we can see, William, there were certainly a lot of people, and I could give scores and scores and scores of more, and we're going to get some of those quotes later on as we go march through history, continue our march through missing gaps in history. But it's amazing how many people, and you know, Samuel Morse and others at the time, a century ago or more, that were trying to warn the American people, hey, look out, these guys are snakes, and wherever they go, you know, they cause sedition and civil war, et cetera, et cetera. So, it's good that we take a good look at them. Now, you mentioned Loyola. He was an interesting character, and I didn't, you know, when I first started getting into the Jesuits about maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I was looking more at their history. But man, when you start reading some of the stuff about their spiritual exercises and their moral theology and their mental reservation and a lot of the other stuff, as someone who came from a military intelligence background, the way they train these Jesuits with, as you mentioned, the spiritual exercises, it's almost like a brainwashing of the body to make the guy a corpse, is, to use their own words, that can be wielded in the hand of any of his superiors. He's not to have any free will of his own. He's not to question any orders. If you remember that we were just following orders, defense given at the Nuremberg trials, the Jesuits, novitiates, I guess, when they start out, they're told that if the Pope says that black is white and white is black, then you don't question it. If you are told to even commit murder, in the end justifies the means. I mean, there's all kinds of cliches and phrases that these guys use, but basically they can murder, rape, do anything they want with the blessings of the churches. We use that quote by Colonel White. And, you know, the end justifies the means.
Yeah, so it's a system, really, it's not original to me, but the idea of mind-forged manacles, it's a way of clamping down around the mind of the adherent this particular set of blinders, and yet at the same time, it's deeply rooted. It's set in by these spiritual exercises, and it's like a self-hypnosis. For some that have gotten broken away, they realize that that what they had experienced was an outward control of them, like a possession almost, and they had to exercise that spirit from themselves in order to become free of it, and then look back and see what their path was with the leaden bullet and the poignard and the poison cup.
Yeah, basically they become non-thinking robots that are, you know, they're just sent out their tools, and they can commit any act, including murder, including regicide, and it's all justified. They can justify anything. They can go into a trial and whisper under their breath. I mean, if they're on the being tried by a jury or something, and they can say one thing and be thinking of something else, and it justifies the lie. It's just a system that it's almost mind blowing for anybody who has never been a mind control object that these people are so controlled, and again, it's just, I'm just following orders is the defense that any of them will pull out, and it was for the greater good. And whatever benefits the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church, whether it's killing one individual or millions of individuals, anything can be justified. And that is the scary part, because when you have, wasn't it Daniel Defoe that had said, of all the tyrannies of which mankind is cursed, ecclesiastical tyranny is the worst. And certainly when you can kill in the name of your religion, you're a force to be reckoned with, and people had better sit up and take notice when they come into your neighborhood.
Well, the idea that even goes to the name, you know, and there are some that I've read that point to the Bible as a source for this, but the idea of the Catholic is universal. And if we can think of it from the standpoint of a universal church, now, obviously, folks, you know, from the spiritual standpoint or from the religious standpoint, no matter what your background might be, there would conceivably be an argument that could be posited that there's only one truth, that there's only one, let's say, creator of the universe, and there's only one set of natural laws and so on, and that any division of that serves only to divide people and makes it convenient to pit them one against another. But the idea of coming out of the box, if you will, with the idea of a universal church and a universal system of government, we can bring in the Roman law at that time, and discuss that as well. But this universalism then opens the door to the idea of a one world government, a one world economic system, a one-world army, and a one-world religion. And this has been their drive all along.
Right. And when we start out with this 16th century here, we're going to start out with the murder of a single individual. And again, Stalin had said that the murder of one individual is a tragedy, but, you know, millions of people, that's just a statistic. But it is important that we understand this. I mentioned that we should look through the last 400 years of history through that lens or magnifying glass of the Reformation versus the Counter-Reformation. There's another magnifying glass to look at it through, a subset magnifying glass, and that is the war on the Bible, because William Tyndale was one of the first victims what we could call modern history, semi-modern history, one of the first prominent victims of the war on the Holy Bible. So anyway, in October 6th, 1536, Englishman William Tyndale was strangled. At least they were merciful to him on that. Didn't use wet wood or anything. And his dead body burnt at the stake on October 6th, 1536, in the town of Filford, not far from Brussels. His crime? He had translated the New Testament into the English language. And because powerful Roman Catholics in England, such as Sir Thomas More, Chancellor of England, opposed the publishing of the New Testament in English, Tyndale had traveled to the European continent, where he was able to get English language New Testaments published in Germany. And Roman Catholic Sir Thomas More put out a hit on Tyndale, in other words, a contract to kill him, and he was eventually betrayed and imprisoned not far from Brussels. After 16 months, and it was a horrible prison, he was executed as a heretic.
Well, one of the things about Thomas More that's interesting in my study, he is the author of Utopia. And so we talk about these utopian societies and the utopian socialists and utopia this, and then, you know, there's so many that come after that, Erewhon, which is nowhere, written backwards. There's so many of these utopian dreamers, you know, who'd like to raise man up to the level of God, and that man will understand perfectly how to rule not only himself but also the planet. But Sir Thomas More was also intimately acquainted with Desiderius Erasmus. They were correspondents. Also Albrecht Dürer was part of that. Dürer was an artist, folks, and did portraiture of both Thomas More and Erasmus, you know. So I look at Erasmus as kind of like being the Henry Kissinger of his time period. He was welcome in anybody's court. And Thomas More, while he still had the crown of England's support, was equally one of these plenipotentiary ambassadorial types. But there's a lot to understand about Thomas More, and we'll find out more on the other side of this break.
My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
And we have returned once again. Now, as we go into this particular segment, and again, this is the last segment, Darryl, of our day, but I've got something on my mind I want to get out before I forget it. And that is that when we think about something like what William Tyndale has done, translating the New Testament into the English language, of course, the same was done by Luther. Others were looking at it as well. But this wouldn't have been really possible at this particular time had it not been for the influence of the Moors. You know, we always, whenever it's convenient, we pull up the people who followed Muhammad's teachings, hit them with the same broad brush, and call them ragheads and sand lizards and other nasty things. But those people basically introduced the Greeks back into circulation.
Yes.
And had it not been for that, and had the universities not been influenced by that introduction, you know, today we go, all these secular humanists, you know, well, all of these guys were humanists, you know, and from that standpoint, if you want to call someone a humanist because they bred Aristotle. But it had it not been for the resurgence of Greek language and the influence of the Moors with their understanding of Paleo-Hebrew and things like that, translations into the vernacular would have continued to be impossible. The papacy, Rome, would have continued their stranglehold. People would have continued to be preached at rather than part of the process. I mean, you can imagine, folks, if you don't know Latin and you're sitting through a Latin mass, it's all, well, it's not even Greek. It's just all Latin to you. So Tyndale did something very powerful there. And but what is so powerful about this idea of a vernacular Bible?
Yeah, the reason it's so powerful is that Papal Rome has, as I mentioned, you can't look at the I'd say the history of the last 1,000 years without understanding that there was a major war waged against the Holy Bible. They did not want it in the vernacular, in the colloquial language of the individual, because they figured, number one, they said it might make him go crazy and he wouldn't understand it. But the real reason is that there's plenty in the Bible that not only speaks against a hierarchical system that Papal Rome uses, and condemns a lot of their practices, and it exposes them as being pagan, basically, a lot of that. But it was the main thing was to protect the church's monopoly on people and being able to control them. And if they read the Bible in their own language, well, then they would see that there's no popes in the Bible, there's no cardinals in the Bible, there's no archbishops in the Bible. The Bible says we're all to be brethren. And the whole hierarchical system is designed after the Babylonian priesthood system. There's no auricular confession to an authorized priest. There's no goddess worship in the Holy Bible other than the pagans doing it. And the only time Queen of Heaven's mentioned, it's condemned in the Bible because the Jews were mixing it in with their religion. So, the main reason they made war was that they wanted to keep the Bible out of the hands of people, and the only people that were to have it were a few learned monks, scholars, and to have it only in Latin. And as you mentioned, they had the Mass in Latin. And there was a big war against the Greek language for hundreds and hundreds of years because of the schism when the Eastern Orthodox Church, Constantinople, and that went its way. And Rome became took over the pagan imperial Roman Empire whenever it fell. And Latin was to be the language of the church. So let me give you, Thomas.
One more thing that you didn't get. I was waiting for it to see if you'd include it in your list, and it was a good list. But one other thing that's in there, and folks, whether you believe in the power of prophecy or whether you disbelieve in the power of prophecy, there is in the New Testament and there is throughout the Old Testament, whether you call it the Torah, the Tanakh, or however you call it. But in those 66 books, including the Apocrypha, which was originally sewn in between the Old Testament and the New Testament in the First King James Bible, which I have a copy of, in this there are certain prophecies that are particularly damning and exceedingly descriptive of what became the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't mention that. The book of Daniel in particular in the Old Testament and the book of Revelation, or Apocalypse, as some Catholics call it, or did call it at one time, certainly you can make an extremely good case that it really nails down the papacy as being the Antichrist, not so much just against, but meaning to sit in the place of.
It could even conceivably, and I like to say this as well, Daryl, it could conceivably have been the game plan that was followed by them. You know, folks, we haven't had control of this book. We weren't sitting in on the canonical text review committee. We haven't been part of the decision of what to hold and what to throw. We've been given what we've been given, and we do the very best we can to recreate the other books that have been omitted or by either error or by whatever decision. But the idea is that there have been people throughout all of history, recorded history, that are privy to these secrets. And these secrets are used as much against us as they are used in the church for us. So there's two sides to these coins, and if you've got a roadmap like the Bible, and you can preach it and teach it on Fridays and Sundays, you can shape people's minds using these books and texts and lead them into things like the false, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the pre-tribulation rapture and the other things, the various heresies, if you will, that have been brought on us and at us.
Yeah, you can even find a Jesuit signature, Emmanuel Lacunza and Francisco Rivera on the pre-trib rapture. But anyway, that would be a whole different topic. But just let's finish up with St. Thomas More there. They made him a saint, evidently, Thomas More, who put the contract out. Let me read from page 77. I grabbed the book during the break. It's called Did the Catholic Church Give Us the Bible? It's about the war on the Bible. Before I read the quote and we run out of time, let me give them a phone number, and they can get this great little book, Did the Catholic Church Give Us the Bible, by David W. Daniels. It talks about the war that was waged by the papacy on the Bible, especially in the vernacular, local language of people, by David W. Daniels, and you can order it by credit card, 159-page paperback book. I think it's $12.10 postage paid in the USA. Chick Publications, 909-987-0771. I'll give it again slowly, 909-987-0771. It's an illustrated book. Let me give them this quote. It's so good. St. Thomas More, 1478-1535, is honored by Catholics for his godly fairness, politeness, sense of humor, and intelligence. But he had only hatred for Martin Luther, Tyndale. Remember, he put the hit out on Tyndale. And anyone who loved God's words. He burned Bible believers at the stake and tortured them in his own house. I thought that's kind of interesting. He's made a saint. He's made a saint, but he takes Bible believers to his house and tortures them to death. So if that's what it takes to be a saint, just like they want to make Pope Pius XII, Eugenio Pacelli, they want to make him a saint for all of his wonderful things he did during World War II.
Oh, it's amazing. It's almost a slur, you know, to have even somebody consider knighting you or making you a saint. You'd almost want to tear your arm off.
And you mentioned knighting somebody. Isn't it interesting that knights of Malta, knights of Columbus, knights of the Golden Circle, they have a way of making people feel special and precious and loved by giving them, conferring knighthood on them. And then, you know, they go out and do the will and the wishes of their higher authorities. And again, and it's not just the Jesuits, because the Jesuits have influenced. They're the largest, most powerful, best educated, and through their Knights of Malta, the wealthiest order on the planet. And they have influenced a lot of the other orders. It's amazing how much they have gotten into them. When they first got founded, interestingly, the Dominicans and a few others were their enemies. And whenever they rode the coattails of Napoleon back to power in Europe, the Dominicans had seized a lot of their holdings in France, and I can't say on air what they did to the Dominicans, but they really, payback time came to the Dominican order for taking over some of the Jesuits' possessions in France.
Well, we're down to about a minute left in the broadcast, Daryl, and again, I want to thank you so very much for coming back and sharing your knowledge with the audience, and I look forward to having you come back again next Wednesday and join us, and we'll continue. We'll pick up with William Tyndale and his influence and the emergence of the vernacular Bibles. But in closing, just 15 or 20 seconds is all we have here. Any other thoughts, any other places you want the people to look?
No, not right now. All I would say to them is that that's a good little book that I recommended. Did the Catholic Church give us the Bible to see about this constant war that went on against the Bible? And we'll be giving them other materials to look at in that. And maybe we can again promote that DVD, The Inquisition, the next time, because it covers also the last third of it, that Croatian Holocaust. But everyone be researchers. We can take advantage of other people's massive research and boil down thousands of hours into just a couple hours by reading the book that they wrote.
And our hour is gone, folks. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Daryl, and everyone. I'll be back again tomorrow with Vicki Davis. Till then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever...
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.